If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, over to Colossians chapter 3 and follow along as I read, beginning at verse 12. Colossians 3 and 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against one another, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to gather to worship. Thank you for those who have taken the truths of your word and set them to music so that we can sing them. They become the songs of our heart. And Father, for the privilege of giving. There is joy in sharing in what you want to accomplish here in this community and literally around the world through missions, through this church. And when we give, we get to participate in what you are doing. And thank you for that opportunity. And now, Father, we want to open your word, which is so available to us today. More available than it has ever been to your church. We can each have multiple copies in different translations and editions. And study your word with the help of those who know more than we do, who can shine some additional light so that we can understand what you've said and what you would say to us. Not so that we simply know more, but so that we can respond better, make better choices, live more obediently, be more useful to you as a servant. So this morning, Father, as we pause before your word, take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if this is the first time you've read this passage, or this morning looking at it again, you see that the bulk of what is here is how God expects us to respond. As a result of being believers, as a result of being a part of his family, he says we will live differently. We will live uniquely. Notice in verse 12, he describes us this way, chosen of God, holy, and beloved. Very important to understand. Now, good men disagree exactly what is all meant by this phrase, chosen of God. But if you spend much time in Ephesians 1, which we did a while back, and read with consistency our New Testaments, it's pretty clear that Jesus meant what he said when he said, no one comes unless the Father draws him. So we can use words like chosen, elected, predestined, because of the love of God. God loves and he chooses. And as amazed as I am that he chose some of you, I'm even more amazed that he chose me. But if we are here this morning in Christ, it is because we have been chosen. We are beloved, or excuse me, we are holy. What does that mean? We're really, really good. It means we have been separated and belong to someone else. The Old Testament is full of pictures of holiness. The holiness of God and the holiness of everything that surrounds him. When God introduced himself to Moses, remember what he said? Take your shoes off. The ground you're standing on is holy. Oh, it was just dirt. What made that ground holy? God was there. It was a patch of earth that he was using to make his presence known to somebody he was choosing to do great things with. The tabernacle and the temple, filled with all kinds of utensils that were holy. Why were they holy? Because they were set apart to be used in God's service. Were they any better? No. But they were set aside for God's service and worship. Therefore, they were holy. They were separate. That's who we are. We're holy because we belong to God. We are His. And all of this is based upon this simple but amazing idea that we are loved. God loved us. For God so loved the world that he gave. We have been loved. Now, if all of that is true, if as a result of a choice you've made, because of the choice God made, if we can put that together that way, God loved you, Jesus died for you, and you recognize Jesus as Savior and as Lord, there will be evidence. There will be characteristics that are unique to the believer. Because we are in the process of becoming more and more like Christ. First, here at the end of verse 12 and verse 13, we will be forgiving. Now, let me pause right here and remind you. These are not traits, these are not evidences that I'm going to ask you to go home and start manufacturing on your own. Just as I said earlier, we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. We are his project. It requires our cooperation. But he's working in us to produce what he wants to see in us. Forgiving. Middle of verse 12, drop in there. Put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another and forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. See, all this list, compassion, kindness, humility, all of that is leading up to what will help us form this foundation of forgiveness. If you struggle with compassion, if you struggle with kindness, if you struggle with humility, gentleness, patience, it's because you have not yet come to grips with, one, the forgiveness of God. All that God has forgiven you. If somehow you got through the process of salvation thinking that you were, one, an easy catch, and two, a great catch, you've misunderstood the process. If you are here this morning in Christ, it is because you have been forgiven and forgiven greatly. You've been forgiven because of who you were. You've been forgiven because of all that you have done. We come into this world, even beautiful little girls, even an active little boy, we come into this world stained with sin. And we're not long cooperating and committing our own sin. Very quickly, we get demanding. Very quickly, we throw a fit when we don't get what we want. And some of us still do. You have been, if you are here this morning in Christ, you have been forgiven of all of that. And one of the ways in which we can reflect the presence of God within us is through the act of forgiveness. Not simply forgiving the lovable or forgiving the forgivable, but forgiving anyone, anything, just as Christ has forgiven you of anything. If you can hang on to something, if you can say, Pastor, I'm fine with everything you've said, but you don't know what she did. You don't know what he did. You don't know what they said. I just don't think I can forgive that. You don't understand all that you have been forgiven, and you don't understand what is expected of you as one who has been forgiven. Rethink again who you are. If forgiveness is a struggle. Secondly, verse 14, beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Later, Paul is going to remind husbands to love your wives. Here he's saying to love one another, and that love is a bond of unity. This love is a choice. This love is an act of intellect. I choose to love you, just as God chose to love me. We are a part of a community, each having been loved by God and now choosing to love one another. A perfect bond, a perfect glue, if you will. Now he's going to take that and apply it to marriage later in this chapter. Marriages that survive have learned that we made a choice, and I'm not going to break that promise. Most of you have heard me say this in one way or another through the years. Marilyn and I celebrated our 45th anniversary last week. We have not been together for 45 years because we are absolutely wonderful. We have stayed together over 45 years because 45 years ago we made a promise to each other that we would. That's what's at the heart of this word, choice. So when someone comes to me and says, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her anymore. That wasn't the foundation of your wedding in the first place. Because what we're talking about is a choice. It's not about a feeling. It's a choice. And so here, because of the love we have experienced and the reality of that, we want to express it first to God with all that we have, Jesus said, heart, mind, body, soul, all that you have, and then to one another. Because we have been loved so much, we can be, should be, loving toward one another. Then down in verse 15, peaceful. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. I'm not really sure what all Paul means by this, but he hints here when he says, to which indeed you were called in one body. You remember, he's reminded us in the past that once we become believers, we become a part of a greater body. And he says, you know, it's just like the human body. The ear doesn't say to the eye, I don't need you. The right hand doesn't say to the left hand, I don't need you. Oh, yeah, because we live in a sinful, fallen world and our bodies reflect that. Sometimes they don't communicate well. But the thing is, it's all part of one whole that is to work together well. Understanding that each has its own role. You don't ask an ear to see, an eye to hear. Each is significant, each is important. And each needs to get along. And so it is within the church. We have each been gifted in some way to function within the church, to do something to the enrichment of the body. None of us is more important than the other. None of us has a gift that's more important than the other. Oh, yes. Some of us have been gifted in ways that are more obvious, maybe, or more evident, but not more significant. Nothing happens publicly to God's honor and glory that isn't also bathed with prayer, that isn't also supported financially. We gathered here this morning, yes, because someone prepared a message. Okay? We gathered here this morning because and somebody worked really, really hard on the music so that we could sing. Somebody else has done a great job with the IT. Somebody else spent some time cleaning the pews you're sitting in. Cleaning the cushion you're using, maybe. Somebody else is going to make sure that the offering you leave today makes its way in its entirety to the bank. See, a lot of stuff happens that when you think about it, I know that. But it all happens by gifted people who are involved in making sure the church moves forward. And we should be able to do that peacefully. And this was happening long before I got here, because I enjoyed it immediately. We have disagreed in business meetings, board meetings, business meetings. We have disagreed. Nobody's gotten in a huff and left. No punches were thrown. No naughty words said. None of that. Again, because we're all so absolutely wonderful? No. Because we do disagree. But at the end of the day, we all understand that each has a part, each has an opinion, and we need to listen to one another. And at the end, even when we make a choice that you don't fully agree with, almost always you say, okay, it's what we're going to do. Because we all understand we're together. We're committed to that peace that reflects the unity of a single body. And then verse 16, we're filled with the word of Christ. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We should know, and for you and me, what Paul is referring to here is our Bibles. Now, as Paul is writing, there are still some alive who would have heard Jesus. Imagine that. They would have heard Jesus speak. They would have been when Jesus delivered the Sermon on the Mount. There are not many left, but there are still some who heard that. But for the rest of us, it's the written word. And he's saying, okay, let that word so dwell in you that it becomes a regular part of how you think and even how you express your love for God and your love for one another. Even in worship, it becomes such a part of who you are. And finally, here in verse 17, to be thankful. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. A thankful heart. That thankfulness is to permeate everything that we do. Whatever we do, at home, at work, in the marketplace, whatever we do, wherever we go, our lives should reflect a heart of thankfulness. Now, I've gotten pretty good at stopping and saying thank you when things go well. Or when I realize I just dodged a bullet. And that happens from time to time. I've gone through more than one four-way stop. And regularly, that's what, thank you, Lord. I don't deserve this, whatever. No flashing lights, no kaboom, thank you. Okay, I've gotten pretty good at that, recognizing His working in my life when things go well. What I'm still working on is the way He uses the tough stuff. And the lessons that are only learned when you go through the tough stuff. But that's what He's talking about here. All of it, whatever you do, make sure that what comes through is a heart of thankfulness. So remember, you have been chosen, you are holy, and you are beloved. All of that is the work of God. As He works in our lives and we cooperate with what He's doing, we should be more and more forgiving, and forgiving as we have been forgiven. The better I understand how much I have been forgiven, the better I can respond in a forgiving manner. We should be more and more loving. And that loving within the church will be the basis for unity. It's the basis for unity in the home. It's the basis for unity within the church. We will be more and more peaceful, knowing who's in control, knowing who can see the big picture. And as someone reminded me a long time ago, someone who sees the tapestry from the other side. More and more peaceful, filled with the Word of Christ, objective truth. That's where we're going to find it. We live in a world of subjectivity. We live in a world that says, think what you want, do what you want, believe what you want. But if you want the objective truth, you've got to go to the Word of God. And nowhere does God say, oh, here, by the way, take it or leave it. Or, here's what I say, do as you please. No. The objective Word of God. And then finally, to be thankful. And to be truly thankful because of who you really are. And who are we? Ephesians 2:10. We are His workmanship. We're His project. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We will do good works because He does good work. He produces good things when we cooperate. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your Word. Thank You for its truthfulness. Thank You for using men like Paul in their concern for the church to write. And then that we have this preserved for us, for our instruction, for our encouragement and challenge. I know I look at this list and I see things that I need to work on. I need to cooperate a little bit more with the direction of Your Holy Spirit in my life. I could cooperate more. This could be more evident in my life. I can't manufacture it, but I can certainly cooperate. And what a joy, what a relief to know that we are Your workmanship. You're still working on me. Thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.